The Green Bay Packers received two compensatory draft choices at the NFL owners meeting, and charges against defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon have been dismissed. We'll discuss those topics with former Packers running back and current 105.7 FM The Fan broadcaster Gary Ellerson. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the NFL owners meetings. But first, we have joining us on the phone this morning, we have Gary Ellerson, former Packers running back and current 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee broadcaster. Mr. Ellerson, how you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, guys. How are you doing?
Very good. We're glad to have you on the show. I'll kick things off by talking about the latest news involving the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, charges were dropped against defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon. Do you think this clears the way for his re-signing with the Packers?
I think it does. I think if you go back and look at the Green Bay Packers through free agency, they really haven't done anything to address their defensive line. Of course, LaTroy Guyon is available. B.J. Rogers also available. I expect for the Packers to resign both of those guys. Now, I don't know the legalities of everything, if Guyon is going to be suspended through the league yet or not, but I'm sure Roger Goodell is going to take a look at that case.
Yeah, obviously that's a possibility. Do you think that potential of him being suspended will impact the next contract he signs from either a number of years or the dollar amount he ends up signing, whether it's with the Packers or anywhere?
Yeah, I think if you look at his contract last year, I think he made just under $1 million. So I would suspect he'll probably get the same one-year deal from the Green Bay Packers or anybody else. But I think he wants to come back to Green Bay, so I think that will be his number one choice if it works out.
Okay, you talked about B.J. Raji as well. Packers reportedly in negotiations with him. Is this deal inevitable?
I think it is. If you look at B.J. Raji, most certainly one-year deal last year and got hurt and just really didn't have a lot of bargaining power around the NFL. So I think the negotiations should be fairly easy with him. But never say never. It only takes one team to just blow that budget out. But I think it would be fair to say that he will be back as a Green Bay Packer.
Both Guyon and Raji are both nose tackles. Does one deal affect the other at all in that they might sign one but not the other? Is that a possibility?
No, I don't think so. I think they, from what I'm hearing, they like to have those guys, both of those guys back, and especially if Guyon's going to be suspended for four games or something like that. I don't think you can never have too many defensive linemen, especially with the Green Bay Packers do it. They rotate their linemen on a situational basis, so they need the depth there.
Yeah, certainly makes sense. It was kind of the opposite situation last year where Raji gets injured and then it's Guyon stepping in. We're talking to former Packers running back Gary Ellerson here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Mr. Ellerson, the NFL owners meetings are going on in Arizona, and on Monday the Packers received two compensatory draft picks. It was announced there. I know they're just sixth round draft picks, but how important are these to the organization?
Well, they have three picks in the sixth round. Of course, they have their own, and then they get two more. Of course, we all know Ted Thompson loves draft picks. He gets two more to play with. You know, he always talk about the more swings he gets. So I think it helps Ted in what he wants to do to try to continue to build his team through the draft.
Speaking of the draft, what's your opinion on the biggest need of the Packers? Because I think people seem to be split between inside linebacker and cornerback now that they had a few losses.
For me, I think it's still inside linebacker. Of course, they do need another corner. But I think the Packers this year may try to do it up front. You know, if they can get Guy on B.J. Rogers. Mm-hmm. It meaning that the pressure they want to create will be up front, with less than the load what you're going to get on the back end. So I would say inside linebacker is still a pressing need right now for the Packers defensively.
Do you see the Packers adding anyone yet in free agency from outside the organization? Is that a possibility?
Brian, listen, they've got, I think, roughly about $20 million left in cap space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Ted's going to do with the money. I mean, I have no idea. You know, people ask me all the time, well, who are they going to draft? Who are they going to get? And, you know, if anybody ever come on your show and say, I know what Ted's going to do, they're lying. Because I have no idea. I mean, that's a lot of money to carry over. I think you roughly need about $7 to $8 million probably to sign your draft picks. So, I mean, he has a lot of money sitting there. I don't know what he's waiting on. We'll see how it shakes out.
I guess some of it will be going to Raji and Guyon and maybe some of these other guys. How about John Kuhn and Jarrett Bush? Your prediction on will these two guys be back?
Yeah, they should eat up a lot. I think Jarrett Bush will be back for sure. You think about the secondary, he'll be a veteran guy that they need, and he can play, you know, he can play that safety spot. He can play corner. He can play in the slot. So these are guys you can use all over the place. And I just don't know about Kuhn. I would love to have him back, but it kind of moved away from him a little bit last year.
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be seen. Most certainly he doesn't hurt you. Neither one of those guys is going to cost you a lot of money. Listen, if you look at it, Guyon, Raji, Kuhn, Bush, four of those guys, they're not going to cost you a lot of money to bring them back.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. Now, as a former running back yourself, I wanted to get your opinion on the Packers' current starter at the position. What do you think about Eddie Lacy? What do you think about the pounding he takes? Is there any worry about inevitable injury there?
Yeah, I think the way he runs the football, you're not going to stop him from doing what he's, you know, his running style. It's just kind of how he runs. But, yeah, I think longevity-wise, you look at a guy like that, maybe – career tops 4 to 5 years. Probably his peak would be 4 years. But listen, I think the Packers do a really good job of rotating him and James Starks. Well, he just don't get beat up as much as he would if he were in the offense where he was carrying the ball 25, 30 times a game. They just don't give it to him that much. So I think they can prolong his career by having another back that goes with him.
Speaking of James Starks, he enters the final year in his contract this year. You think he just plays the contract out, and will 2015 be his final year in Green Bay?
I think it all depends on the draft. I mean, I don't know who they'll go get in this draft. And I think the running backs in this year's draft is pretty top heavy, probably the best it's been in a long time.
Yeah,
but I don't think the Packers see that as a need to go get a running back early. Maybe they get one late, or maybe they just play the James Starks out. Of course, they lost DeJuan Harris. And maybe they've got three picks in a sixth round. Maybe they spend one of those picks on a running back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think defensively, they need to concentrate on that and try to shore the defense up a little bit with the drafts. Most certainly, you can always use another offensive line. And this year, I think they should get a quarterback. I mean, the quarterbacks out there in this year's draft, there's a lot of them that Ted could probably get one and try to develop.
Well, Mr. Ellerson, thank you for your time. Last question here before I let you go. You mentioned it's kind of a top-heavy draft for the running backs. So let's just play hypothetical, and Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon are both still on the board when the Packers pick in the first round. Is there any possibility at all that, you know, they could get the number one running back? Would they pull the trigger?
And I think there's a possibility that, although I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be interested in one of those
guys,
or Melvin Gordon, because they need to replace DeMarco Murray. But there's a possibility. I think for me, there's only two running backs that's worthy to be drafted in the first round. That's Gordon and Gurley. If Gurley's available, I think they pass on him. I wouldn't be surprised this year if the Packers would trade back out of that 30th pick.
Yep.
If someone's not there that they want and try to get more draft picks.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Mr. Ellerson, thank you so much for your time talking some Packers football this morning. We appreciate it, and we'd love to have you on again sometime.
Sure, no problem, Brian. Thanks for the phone call, Brian.
All right, thank you. Gary Ellerson, former Packers running back, current broadcaster at 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Glad to have him on the show. Glad to have you, the listener, on the show. And now it's time for
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, or what happened over the course of the past 24 hours, yesterday charges were dropped against defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon, currently a free agent. He also reportedly paid a $5,000 fine per multiple reports, all citing his agent here. I haven't been able to find anything in court records citing this information yet. But reportedly, LaTroy Guyon charges dropped and kind of almost settling his legal issues here that he's been dealing with. The civil forfeiture case is still open, apparently. This is what happens to his money, which you'll remember when he was arrested. He had nearly $200,000 in cash on him. Also his vehicle and his gun at stake here too. But is just as far as facing charges, he's not going to face anything there. The civil case here really probably not going to impact any suspension he has or anything like that. So, kind of interesting. Not sure what's going to come down from the NFL. You kind of wonder here, you know, the NFL could suspend him for violating their conduct policy, but also, and I don't know, they kind of keep these things disclosed, but, you know, I wonder too, could he be suspended for violating the league's substance abuse policy? You know, when, you know, apparently the word is the marijuana was for personal use. Well, that's, you know, whether it's legal in certain states or not, it's still against the NFL's policy. But I mean, that being said, there is certain, like, you get away with it if you violate the policy for the first time, no suspension. It happens. You just kind of go into their program, and it's only after you test positive like two or three times where an actual suspension happens. But regardless of, you know, maybe this would be LaTroy Guyon's first positive test, possibly. I don't know whether what's been happening, if he's been tested or things like that. Hard to say, but he's still, you know, subject to the NFL's conduct policy here and could be suspended there, whether it's one game, two games, three games, four games. We're still all kind of uncertain here, but I would say it's quite likely he's going to be suspended at some point here before the season. I'm sure, you know, the NFL is going to take their time and just, you know, this decision, this ruling, or this deal just, you know, happened yesterday. They're going to take some time. There's no rush. I'm sure by the time training camp starts, they will know, you know, how long LaTroy Guyon will be suspended. You know, I suppose teams would probably like to know as soon as possible in terms of, you know, free agency and how much they're going to sign him for and how many years. And I actually, you know, before the show started, I've been putting out that question on social media, on Twitter. I asked people, what do you think LaTroy Guyon's going to make in his next contract? Whether with the Packers or not, you know, what kind of money do you think a team's going to be willing to invest into a player that may end up being suspended? So here's some of the responses that I've received on Twitter here from All 22 NFL Insights. He responds, 2 years, $4 million, $900,000 guaranteed. Wow, that's an awful generous estimate for a guy who could be suspended. Double the amount of years as the last contract he got, and pretty much double on an annual basis the amount of income. I'm not sure I agree with that, but he definitely, had LaTroy Guyon not been arrested at all, he definitely could have made in that money. Nate Rao on Twitter, one of our former guests here at Railbird Central, responded to me. He says, 1 year, $2 million. Samuel Shear on Twitter says, 1 year, $2.5 million with the team option for the following season. So those are some of the responses we've gotten as to what LaTroy Guyon could receive now that his legal issues have been resolved. I tend to think it's along the lines of the last contract he received with the Packers. I think it'll be interesting to see whether it's 1 or 2 years. You know, the Packers probably pretty happy with his production this past season, and that makes me think that he could get the 2 year deal as opposed to one. But I tend to think it's hovering around $1 million a year. A lot because of the potential of suspension here. You know, if he's going to be out for 4 games, that's a quarter of the season. You know, you're not going to want to pay a guy who's not out there a whole lot of money. So I tend to think, you know, it'll be above the NFL's veteran minimum, which is, I'm not sure how many years he's got in the league now, 6 years. It's probably around the $700,000 to $800,000 a year range, probably more above $800,000, just based upon what I can remember. But so I think, you know, just showing a little bit of good faith in him in terms of what he offered the team last year, I think we're talking about $1 million a season for LaTroy Guyon on average. Now, like I said, maybe the NFL's got to take action first before the Packers are willing to sign him. You know, they're going to want to know how long he'll be suspended for. But I do think he ends up back in Green Bay. I just think, you know, that the Packers will show a little bit of good faith just because of what he provided last year. And maybe, you know, this whole situation is scaring off perhaps other NFL teams. He's just familiar with Green Bay, things like that. Mike McCarthy said he's back in Green Bay training. So I think that's how it all goes down over the course of the next couple days, weeks, months, whatever it takes. But I do think LaTroy Guyon will be back with the Packers. Unsure what's going to happen with BJ Raji here. It's been reported now for a few days. We were actually talking about this on the last episode of Railbird Central, that he's been, you know, Raji's been in negotiations with the Packers, you know, for several days. Nothing seems to be happening here. I do think that's going to happen though. Like we talked about with, Gary Ellerson. I think both guys come back, you know, especially if LaTroy Guyon is suspended, you know, he's out for the first few games of the season. Well, now the Packers are going to be relying on BJ Raji quite a bit to play that nose tackle position, kind of be the big run stuffer on the team. Not that I think that the Packers couldn't go take somebody in the NFL draft up front along the defensive line, because, it, you know, both Raji, both LaTroy Guyon, there's some doubt about these guys, you know, from an age standpoint. For one, they're not the long-term answer at, you know, quote-unquote nose tackle. And not that these guys are strictly nose tackles. You know, they can shade. They can, you know, line up other places. They can line up on a two-man, you know, defensive line as the Packers go to their sub-packages and things like that. But, you know, there's LaTroy Guyon had a good year last year, not a great year. B.J. Raji has been trending in the wrong direction for quite a few years now. Pretty much you remember that Super Bowl season in 2010 kind of being the high point of his career and been kind of trending downward ever since that time, culminating in the injury that led to injured reserve this past season. So, even if they do sign B.J. Raji, there's no guarantee you're getting the same player that the Packers saw in 2010 here. So it would not surprise me at all to see the Packers go, defensive line early in the NFL draft, first 2 days. Wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. Not that I'm guaranteeing it by any means, but very well could happen. Also, in Packers news over the past 48 hours, happened on Monday evening when news broke that the Packers got the 2 6th-round compensatory draft picks. These coming from the losses of James Jones and Evan Dietrich Smith in free agency. The Packers, this comes from their net losses. They didn't sign any unrestricted free agents this past season. We talked about this before. They signed Julius Peppers. They signed LaTroy Guyon last year. They were not unrestricted free agents because they were released from their previous teams. Their contracts did not expire. They were released, and that's why they don't count in the equation. What's interesting is that C.J. Wilson, actually, former Packer, signed by the Oakland Raiders, he qualified for the compensatory draft pick formula, but the NFL had already handed out its full allotment of 32 picks, that number 32 representing the number of teams in the NFL. So you can kind of think of it, even though it's a 7-round draft, it's in essence 8 rounds because they hand out these 32 extra compensatory draft picks. Packers just missing out on an extra 7th rounder. But hey, they get the 2 extra 7s. That'll be a busy round for the Packers with these compensatory draft picks. These cannot be traded. These 2 picks the Packers just received at the end of the 6th round, they have to, take those. They just have to pick a player. They can't trade up. They can't trade down or trade them for picks next year, whatever. They've got to exercise them. And the Packers certainly have no problem doing that. Like we talked about with Gary Ellerson, Ted Thompson likes his draft picks and tries to hit on as many of them as possible. And better the 6th round than the 7th round. These aren't 1st-round draft picks. They're not day 2 draft picks even, but it's not like you can't find good players in the 6th round. I mean, just look at some of the names the Packers have taken, in recent, in Ted Thompson's tenure. Desmond Bishop was a 6th-round draft pick. Mason Crosby was a 6th-round draft pick. These guys are good quality guys you can get late in the draft that contribute. So Packers hoping to do the same this year. Obviously, can't predict with any certainty what position they're going to address with those picks. So much depends on how the draft plays out. You're not going to know till late April, early May about these things. But just good to hear that it's official. Not that it wasn't unexpected before that even, but made official at the NFL owners' meetings earlier this week. And that leads us into
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers here on a Wednesday. The NFL owners' meetings are currently taking place, and maybe the day ahead is a little bit of a misnomer. Currently, as we speak, the NFC coaches breakfast is going on currently, so it's not like really this is something to look forward to. It's already happening. Of course, maybe a lot of the coverage coming out of it is still yet to come. What you're going to see happen here today is that the local news outlets covering the Packers are going to have a lot of news coming out of this interview, basically, with Mike McCarthy. Yesterday, the AFC coaches breakfast was held, where a lot of the teams in the other conference had an opportunity to speak and meet with the media. And today it's Mike McCarthy and the NFC's turn. They meet with the media for like a full hour today. Nothing broadcasted here or streamed over the internet, unfortunately. But, just go follow the outlets that cover the Packers. I know some of the outlets that have sent reporters to Arizona this week, the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, ESPN Wisconsin. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if anybody else went, but they'll all have coverage, quotes, sound bites from Mike McCarthy today. And as he meets with the media for an hour, they'll touch on many topics. I'm sure they'll touch on free agency. They'll touch on the upcoming NFL draft. They'll touch on the changes that have taken place throughout the offseason, from, changes on the coaching staff to players that were released or left via free agency to Mike McCarthy's decision to, relegate play calling duties or release them from his own hold. So lots to come from that perspective this morning in Arizona. After the NFC coaches breakfast, the team NFL owners will also vote on potential rules and not expected. I've heard for maybe anything to really happen today. Something could happen today. A lot of the talk, if you've just been following not just Packers news, but those covering the entire NFL, apparently there's going to be a change to the extra point in the NFL. And there's been a lot of proposals, but the one seeming to gain the most traction here is actually, instead of moving it back and making the extra point harder, it's moving it forward from the 2-yard line, which is where it now is, to the 1-yard line, which will, encourage teams to actually go for the 2-point conversion more often, seeing as they have, 50% less, yardage to gain. It's going to make it a lot easier on teams to go for two. And I think this is actually perhaps the way to go. Not to say teams can't, go for one, but if you follow the college football game, and I believe their 2-point conversion is from the 2.5-yard line, if I'm correct. But, go watch Oregon, and they just, go for two a lot of times. A lot. Not to say they never kick an extra point. I mean, sometimes it just makes sense from a scoring perspective, especially late in the game, or when you're up big and it really doesn't matter. But, it's exciting. They kind of run those swinging gate type of formations where, the lineup players out wide and they could kick it or they could go for two. But it just makes the game, I think, a little bit more exciting and can kind of create some kind of weird, scoring potential. When you get caught up in 7.7 points, it seems to be one certain way of how you're going to catch up to a team. But when sometimes you get 6 points, sometimes you get 8 points, sometimes you get 7 points, there's a lot of variables in play there that make the game a little bit more interesting. So I think this could happen. And apparently, from reports that I've read, things I've seen on social media, this may not be voted upon today. The NFL owners end up meeting, in another few months, I think in June or something, May or June, and they can vote on it there. So don't expect anything to happen today, but it looks like this is coming down the pike at some point in the near future here. The NFL owners meetings wrap up today with a press conference with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Whether he'll have anything to say specifically or pertaining to the Green Bay Packers, I'm not exactly sure. There will probably be a lot of questions about moving a franchise to Los Angeles, and that definitely doesn't involve the Packers, except if they go to play a game there or something like that. But that's what's happening today in the world of the NFL, at least. So there you go. NFL owners meetings wrap up. And we'll wrap up another edition of Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central here as well. Already have a guest lined up for Friday. ESPN.com's Kevin Seifert, they're one of their NFL Nation reporters there, formerly focused on the NFC North before his job duties, I know, changed. But I know he's been out at the NFL owners meetings this week. Be interesting to talk to him. Excited about that. So make sure to join us on Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, and our show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition, and then, of course, podcasted later in the day as well. But we'll see you later, folks. My call to action, first of all, go follow Gary Ellerson on Twitter, our guest today on the show. Thank him for coming on. If you haven't already, please do so. It was nice to have him join us. His Twitter handle is real simple, Gary Ellerson, no space in between. So give him a follow, give him a holler. And as usual, I ask, please give us a rating on iTunes if you have not already. We have no paywall here at Cheesehead TV, no subscription rate. All this content is free to you. So do us a small favor and give us a rating on iTunes for your small form of payment. It would be appreciated, at least, if you would. We'll see you later, folks. We'll be back on Friday. I leave you today with a song called Bali Munster by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.